with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Thus we begin this 27th day of May 2015, live broadcast on the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room and be part of that merry band for this particular day, the congregation, if you will. Thank you very kindly to Brother Jeremy in Vermont, noting loud and clear on TuneIn. Bob, thanks, Jeremy. It's quite helpful to know when we're really, really streaming and stuff, and I'm not just imagining it. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid, and in fact, yes, jump on over to headonradionetwork.com/chatroom, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and enjoy the multimedia real-time experience, the extravaganza, in fact, that is the Horn Chat Room, and of course, one of these... for the folks who were actually in the chat room at the time the program began. That means good evening, Anatole, good evening, Jeremy, good evening, Jug of Punch, good evening, Texas T, all capably moderated by veteran, inveterate, indefatigable chat room moderator, Sparky. Yes, indeed. Also, of course, the general reminder that we try to raise $200 an evening to keep this broadcast enterprise rolling. And last night we raised $5. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy. And nothing in the 24 hours in between time. So that means that we are going to be trying to hopefully catch up a bit as we move into the middle of the week. It would be great if we could pick up $400 this evening. That's 10 folks at $40 apiece. Or 40 folks at $10 apiece, or 80 people at $5 apiece, or one at four, or two at two, or four at one, or eight at five, or 16, what, no, eight at, what, let's see, four at 100, eight at 50, 16 at 25. My cipherins and gazintas get a little worn out along the way, but there we have it. That's the tally. Anatole pointing out, got Lima Charlie in Birmingham, Ohio, Mr. Bob. I didn't even know there was a Birmingham, Ohio, Anatole. Thank you. And, of course, for those of you who prefer to participate in keeping the Horn on the air via the United States Postal Service, that is more than welcome as well. And send me a little email, let me know, so I can tell Boss Man Wayne that he won't have to wear his spider-proof gloves over to the mailbox. Okay, and and that address, of course, is the Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive. PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV25801, with a reminder that checks and money orders should be made payable to the Horn and not Bob Kincaid, as Bob Kincaid never sees said checks and money orders. That is what Boss Man Wayne, otherwise known as BMW, that's what he does. So don't for a minute think that I don't know what day it is. I already told you, it's the 27th day of May. But you also know then that beyond being the 27th day of May, beyond being Hump Day, beyond being downhill to Friday. Oh, no, 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 no. It's ever so much more than that, brother and sister, and it is prayer meeting Wednesday on Hot Glory the Horn. Amen and amen. We've had us a right warm spell here, but I tell you what, the little old blue-haired ladies down here in the fellowship hall, oh, mercy, they've done a magnificent job. You know what? Nothing cools you off like a nice Jell-O salad for prayer meeting Wednesday fellowship dinner, and it was a lovely one. It had carrots and orange Jell-O and pineapple and cottage cheese in it. It was just delicious, absolutely delicious, and it's chicken and dumplings. Oh, mercy. And I tell you what, they labor, the little blue-haired ladies of the fellowship hall kitchen, they labor in all that steam and all that heat, all that chicken broth. But I tell you what, nothing says love quite like homemade chicken and dumplings. No, sir, no, sir. A fresh-cut cantaloupe was available as well, and it was delicious, I must tell you. And, of course, when it come time for the dessert, well, it's that time of year. And the little ones of the church, they cranked extra hard on the ice cream churn. You know what? Most people don't realize, but you can make a lovely orange pineapple ice cream with just a little more than half and half and your sweetened condensed milk and some orange juice and a can of pineapple, and just get them youngins cranking away now. And they think they're going to get some ice cream, but no, the deacons was there awaiting, brethren and sistren, and they have since, having sated themselves on homemade orange pineapple ice cream served up over yaller pound cake, they have since absented themselves to the parking lot where they're out there, hot glory, smoking with the sinners. Amen and amen. And so now we have driven them in from the parking lot, in through the vestibule, down past that 20-year-old bowl of desiccated butter mints, and we got them down front, standing, waiting with the plates to pass them among the faithful, you, brethren and sistren, the members of the congregation. So we have a very special, special prayer meeting Wednesday this evening for you, brethren and sistren. Let me first call up, as we take the evening's offering, let me call up the minister of music. Call him forward for the evening's offertory hymn. Remember, with every head bowed, hot glory, and every eye closed, except the one you need to pass the plate from one to the next or take, because you don't get hit in the head with the plate. Just with every head bowed and every eye closed, reaching down there for the little PayPal button. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God Almighty. Brethren and sistren, our offertory hymn. Brother Minister of Music, if you would, please. The Minister of Music is having a wee bit of a difficulty finding his way to the front of the back behind the altar. Give us one second here. We'll get him up here yet. Won't take but a minute, brethren and sistren. Faith is all we ask you for. Amen and amen.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord. Stop! This man is clinically insane!
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen!
Amen!
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord!
Praise the Lord!
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Present for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, he's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free?
Oh, hot's up, Boston on the river, and a bowl of suet. I love you. Glory, brethren and sisters. Amen. Amen. This is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. On the horn, and I am inviting you, brethren and sistren, to come up out of your seat, onto your feet, and out into the center aisle, and come on down that blood red aisle, and fall upon your knees up at the altar, and lay your hands upon the subwoofer, and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense Prayer Meeting Wednesday. I am Archpope Uber Rabbi on the Ultimate Imam, animated, antagonized, agnostic, Bob Kincaid. And I tell you what, brethren and sisters, we got a special treat, a special blessing for you this evening. Hallelujah. Amen. We got a something really, really spiritually stirring and uplifting to bring to you this hot evening. Amen. Amen. Traveling about the country, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. Amen. America, the new United States, on his initial tour of this sinful glory land. Oh, amen, brethren and sisters. It's none other than famed evangelist, Brother Pastor Pillow of the Cubic Zirconium Cathedral, crisscrossing America in his platinum RV of holiness. Amen and amen. Brother Pastor Pillow joins us this evening. He works generally in personam. That's Latin, brethren and sisters. Reaching out to the heathen masses by the printed word and via personal appearances, glory. But this will be his first appearance before a world wide radio audience. Amen. Glory to God. Glory. And so it is that we welcome, glory, Pastor Pillow to the Cathedral of Common Sense, as we stand here deeply and direly, oh glory, in need of revival. Pastor Pillow, my brother in Christ, all you there?
Oh, hello. Hello, it's Brother Bob. Brother Bob, do you know what the ambrosia is, Brother Bob?
Well,
the ambrosia. You ever had a servant of the Holy Ghost that was so sweet and marshmallowy, Bob?
Oh, and the little flakes of coconut, Pastor, the little flakes of coconut, oh, and the mandarin oranges, how?
We were talking about the dessert earlier. Oh, Lord, the ambrosia of the Spirit. It's better than the fruit of the Spirit, Bob. It's so sugary, sweet. Oh, Bob, I just want to come on down right now. I want to give you a big old Philadelphic hug. Sometimes, Brother Bob, sometimes I understand what it's like, what it was.
That
like.
Would be that agape love, wouldn't it? We don't want none of that Greeky Eros going on.
Oh,
there.
No, let us not. No, let us not be confused. This is only agape love, Bob. Brother Bob, a Philadelphic brotherly love. Do you ever know what it was like, maybe sometimes when King Solomon was writing the Song of Songs? The Song of Songs, and he felt like he was making love to the Lord. Making sweet ambrosia love to the Lord. I think I know what that was like. Right now I feel it. Tinkling down
to the
eyes.
I can feel it,
oh,
too.
Oh, you can. You can. I know you can feel it.
I'm in the
oh,
spirit,
you
Pastor.
It. You can feel it, Brother Bob. Oh, it's like a tingling. It's like you're rolling around making love in the Galatians and the Ephesians and the Philippians and the Colossians and the first and second.
I usually only do that in my Colossians when it's raining. Hallelujah, glory.
Well, I know, I understand, because you don't want to get pregnant fingers in the afterlife, Brother Bob. No, you do not. And then you roll around in the first and second Timothy, but let's be very clear. That is only Philadelphic. And that's how I'm feeling tonight, Brother Bob. I'm feeling alive and in charge. I'm charged like a Tesla car. Oh, I know you're passing the offering plate tonight, Bob. I know you all know. No, Cubic Zirconia Cathedral Ministries, we're passing these 5 or 6 offering plates in a Sunday morning because we are Prosperity Gospel 501c3, and I am the chief pastoral officer. And we are in this to make the money for the Lord. Have you passed the plate yet, Father Bob?
The plate has come in, and we are beginning our evening's tithe. And I'm happy to announce we cleared $25 to get us stored.
$25 That is, hey, that is an Alexander Hamilton and a Lincoln. Oh!
Two Hamiltons, brother, or that great evangelist, and I must share something with you, that great evangelist of the early 19th century, Andrew Jackson, who evangelized among the heathen and sent many of them off to meet our Heavenly Father. Amen. And I mention that because one of the early conflicts in which the great and noble Jackson would later involve himself was, of course, down in the American Southeast, Brother Pastor Pillow, and particularly it was a little something known as the Battle of Burnt Corn. I kid you not.
Burnt corn. Glory,
and just like a miracle this
burnt
evening.
Corn.
Just like a miracle this evening, Pastor Pillow. We have a letter from a woman of profound faith. Miss Bobby Sue Birdsong writes in from right there in Burnt Corn, Alabama. Glory. She has a letter for you because she knew you was going to be on the radio box this evening. Amen.
Oh.
And amen. She says, Dear Pastor Pillow, I love Jesus. And I am commanded by my faith to testify to the non-believers and bring them to the Lord. Florida Senator Marco Rubio recently gave an interview where he said, We are on the water's edge of the argument that mainstream Christian teaching is hate speech. Pastor Pillow, I have worked hard for everything I have. It took me 12 years to work my way up to become the manager of the local Dairy Queen, and my family is just so proud. With every dilly bar I sell, I say, enjoy and remember, God loves you like you love your dilly bars. It's kind of a twofer if you get my meaning. One branding for the company and one for the Lord. Here's my dilemma. I just want to love Dairy Queen and Jesus at the same time, Pastor Pillow. If I'm going to be thrown into prison for teaching the love of Jesus while serving a soft-serve twist in a chocolate-coated waffle cone, then I just don't know what to do. I mean, 12 years is a long time to make manager. Whatever shall I do? Yours in Christ. Again, Bobby Sue Birdsong, Burnt Corn, Alabama.
Well, Brother Bob, it is so nice to know that we have such a dedicated Jesus lover all the way in Birchtown, Alabama. But first, before leaving, address her a question. I'm a little concerned about a senator with the last name, with the surname, as we say in the state where I'm from, of Rubio. Does that concern you at all, Brother Bob? Do we actually have a U.S. senator named Rubio?
Well, Pastor Pillar, we do, but that is merely a function of the Christian ministry taking place down there in South Florida. Because after all, I don't want you to be too concerned, because you've got to remember, Senator Rubio has been a Roman Catholic, and he's been a Mormon, and Senator Rubio has also, and now he is, just like one of us, he is an evangelical fundamentalist.
Well,
hallelujah,
okay,
glory.
He played the game of naked twister evangelicalism all the way to the heartland. It's like Candyland. He found it. He found the end. Oh, praise God. Number two, I have a special. Oh, holy! I got a holy ghost of the leader coming in now. I got two different already. Oh, coming in. Oh, I feel. And here's the answer. Here's the answer from Bert Cohen.
Dear Bobby Sue, yes.
Listen to what the Lord says. Derek Queen, oh, sometimes it feels like a blizzard. It feels like a blizzard. Life can feel like a dip cone when you are upside down. You have put in 12 hard-earned years of service to your community.
Testify.
And you love the Lord. And you love the Lord. Now let's listen to the 12. 12 is the Dodeca Greek. Oh, as I remember from my seminary training at Oral Sanchez Seminary, 12 is a special number. It is the Dodeca in Greek.
It's the number of the disciples. The number of the disciples, Pastor.
It's the number of the disciples. It's the number of, I think, titles that the Detroit Red Wings have won in the Stanley Cup. There are so many blessed 12. So many blessed 12. And you put in your 12 years and let me let you. Oh, boy, I almost feel Haitian Creole coming through me like a speaking in tongues.
Amen.
Brother Bob, she is not just going to make manager, Brother Bob. She is not just going to make regional manager, Brother Bob. She is going to make chief financial officer for the Dairy Queen.
Amen, glory, brother.
Down inside. Only if she can right now put in $7,500 into the offering plate, then the Lord God in his prosperity gospel ways will reach down and treat her to a CFO.
And that will be because her $7,500 will be pressed down and shaken together and cast back unto her. Amen. And that is also, is it not, Pastor, roughly the amount of the monthly payment on the Platinum RV, is it not?
As coincidence, as divine and charismatic coincidence would have it, it is a $7,500 payment that is due precisely on June 30th. So to our dear listener in Bentcombe, please get your money in today, please, so that not only can I make my payment on my palladium-plated wedding, Holy Spirit-filled traveling minivan rapture vehicle, but she can get her coveted. This is the good kind of coveted, Brother Bob.
The good kind of coveted.
Chief financial officer position. By the way, I know something about
claim it. Claim it. Glory. Claim it in the name of the Lord. Claim it. Name it and claim it. Amen.
Oh, but I can feel it. Oh, did you feel that? Did you feel the tingling? The ambrosia marshmallowy spirit coming down through the tent slaps. If you know what I mean, Brother Bob.
Amen. How glory, Pastor Philip. Truly, you are a man of discerning spirits.
Brother Bob, I gotta be honest with you, Brother Bob. I was a little concerned earlier when you were talking about the press down and shaking. The press down and shaking. You weren't speaking about nothing carnal now, were you, Brother Bob? You weren't trying to...
Pastor Pillar, we don't like our carnals pressed down. We like them gently folded over and toasted on each side and served with a little bit of sour cream, guacamole, and salsa. It's all right.
Oh, okay. We were talking about gastronomic pleasures. All right, Brother Bob. Yeah, I mean, you know what, Brother Bob? How many people have we brought to Jesus this week? How many? In our revival, we are sweeping through the East, South Carolina, Virginia, Georgia, Florida region.
We are bringing absolutely scores and multitudes, amen, to the feet of the Lord.
Oh, again, I go back to my Greek lexicon, Brother Paul. I remember when I was in the seminary at Oral Sanchez University. I was in the seminary, and we learned the term milia. Do you know the term milia? It's a Greek word, Brother Paul. Milia means thousands. And tonight I think we're going to bring thousands into the fold, Brother Bob. Oh, I'm just feeling it right now. Can I have the floor, Brother Bob?
Take the floor, Pastor. Take it. Testify.
Bring down the
gifts of the Holy Spirit.
I will slay down the principalities of darkness with the information that I have right now. I have something to tell you all. I'm so proud that the Holy Spirit sometimes selects people like me. The Holy Spirit goes to and fro the earth looking for people who are truly dedicated to the mission of the gospel. And I was selected, Brother Paul.
Amen.
I was selected by the Holy Spirit through the Department of Defense, through the Pentagon, Brother Paul.
Hallelujah.
I was selected in the war on terror. The Joint Chiefs of Staff decided to issue a contract to expand the sacred writ. We needed propagandize against the evil terrorists, Brother Bob.
Don't tell me, Pastor Pillar. I have the gift of prophecy. I have the gift of prophecy and the gift of discernment. It's upon me, Pastor Pillar. Tell me that you are now a government contractor for God.
I am a government contractor to the tune of $1.3 million, Brother Bob.
Hallelujah.
$1.3 million and a one and a three, Brother Bob. And we also, but that does not excuse the common writer from not sending in her penny.
Every penny counts, Pastor.
Here's how it all went, Brother Bob. I was contacted a few weeks ago by Admiral Nimitz-Stein. Admiral Nimitz-Stein, the only former Jewish, now Christian admiral in the United States, he said, Pastor Pillar, we have been told that you are the man to expand the sacred writ. You are the man to give us Psalm 151, which the International Bible Society and the New International Version Board of Directors and all other evangelical Bible people, including the whole Children's Bible, will put into its Bible starting in August 2015. And here it is. Are you ready, Brother Bob?
I am ready, and I am hung upon the tenterhooks of glory awaiting it.
Oh, and when we use that word hung, we must not remove. We must remember our Lord and Savior. He was hung well, too. Well, that can be taken many ways, Brother Bob. But you know what I mean. Anyway, so here we go. And I sat down, and I drained the bottle of Old Pro as the Spirit directed. And his ambrosia-like voice. He said, drink that bottle of Uncle Crow. Uncle Crow? Or Old Crow? Well, I might have some right now, as it is. He said, drink that bottle, and I will fill you with Psalm 151 special words. So here we go. Are you ready, Brother Bob?
I am ready. I am ready.
Here we go. It is a new sacred read. It is Psalm 151, as sponsored by the Department of Defense, U.S. Military Uncle Sam. Psalm 151, a new anthem for 21st century evangelical prosperity in honor of American economic and militaristic minds, as one can find on www.forwardprogressives.com.
Amen.
A psalm of Pastor Pillar for most stringed instruments and the soprano sax. That would be the saxophone, Brother Bob. The saxophone, the sultry instrument, the erotic agape love.
Amen, amen.
Verse 1, Psalm 151. Let the Lord's chosen, the sanctified 1%, tell their story. Those he gathered from east and west, north and south, but mainly from Western Europe, in order to uproot the indigenous pagans with plague and sword. And all those Rubios, I don't care what you study mother about. And to establish an everlasting evangelical kingdom and Wall Street. Best of two. There stood we by the beeping ATMs, having forgotten our pins. That's personal identification numbers, Brother Bob.
Hallelujah.
We cried out to the Lord, to Jehovah Jireh, who reminded us that our secret number was our brother's birthday backwards. Verse 3. The Lord delivered us so that we could return to Whole Foods and pay for the anchovy and garlic pizza we needed to buy because we were so busy slaving away for mammon. Verse 4, that we didn't have time to prepare a meal for our family of five, most of whom were busy dealing electronic devices anyway, to notice one another. Good Lord, give me that bottle of beef fever. Oh, wait a second now. It looks like my scribe, Larry, man, I've written down a bit too much there. Let's skip ahead to verse 6. In our despair, sometimes we are low in the depths of the Sheol, in the pit, in the garbage pit west of Jerusalem. God delivered us from African-American riots, Brother Bob. He lifted us up from the black riots. He created an extra buffer between the thuggish inner city and the outer burbs. He gave us construction vehicles to convert defunct JCPenney's into megachurches. He blessed our athletic teams with superior draft choices. He shewed us mercy in our fantasy sports endeavors. He subjected our enemies, verse 7, to oil train spills and infernos. Our enemies, Brother Bob, he subjected them to the oil train spill and blessed us with high yield dividend stocks. First, the AR can feel the holy spiritual sweat pouring down my temple right now, the temple of the Lord, the temple of my head. Verse 8, our enemies sit in darkness. Jehovah struts. Oh, wait, he shuts. Jehovah shuts off their water and their essential utilities. Lo, the people of Detroit, or Detroit, if you're being fancy, but he watches over the prophet prison CEOs who love Jesus. Jesus went along on the cross. Verse 9, let us give thanks to the Lord our God for his unfailing love and HDTV.
Give thanks.
Verse 10, HDTV, Brother Bubba. Oh, can you imagine what TV was like before? The televangelist and Jimmy Swaggart, and Ola Roberts, and Jim the Baker, all before HDTV. Verse 10, may a better version of Google Glasses be on our horizon. Verse 11, long live the United States of America, the new Rome, a global Davidic slingshot and Goliath broad squad.
Oh.
A real humdinger kingdom of God place to hang first. We have the Velveeta cheese, Brother Bob. We have the Velveeta cheese. And finally, verse 12 again, Brother Bob, the special number that has been coming down from the spirits of Dodeca 12. That is the number of years that our friend in Burke Corn served as a Dairy Queen. And it is also the number of donors who are now calling to give us $1,000 apiece. And it is verse 12, the final verse of Psalm 151. Are you ready, Brother Bob?
Hallelujah. I await.
Let the one who is wise heed these things. Oh, Brother Bob, I need to sit down for a minute. Psalm 151. It will be in Bibles everywhere. Evangelical Bibles across this planet, this
planet that God made 7,478 years ago, no matter what else the evolution of say.
Amen, amen, Pastor Pilla, and easily obtained help, glory, hallelujah, at your local Hobby Lobby.
I think that was nearly in the tent.
It sounded like there was a... I think we had a disruption in the back of the cathedral.
No, it wasn't a disruption. It was an intervention of the Holy Spirit. That choir burst into play, Brother Bob. They're bursting to play a little bit. You can't stop them. Oh, Brother Bob, I got the finger of ambrosia all over me.
Well, Pastor Pilla, because of the profound power of the gifts of the Spirit of discernment upon you, I thought we might inquire into some of the stories of the day. Amen. Hallelujah. So that you may share with the global Cathedral of Common Sense, faithful congregation. Amen. Your wisdom. Pastor Pilla, I am sure you are aware by now. Amen. I am sure you are aware of the workings of the evil one, the workings of Satan upon that good and godly family.
Oh!
The Duggars. Have you read...
The Duggars, my heart! Oh, my heart goes out! You say what you have to say, I'm going to cry in the corner for this wonderful and gifted family. So many ask the blessing. Just ask the blessing of the 12 children, have they? Oh, you go ahead, my heart.
They're headed for the even 24, Pastor Pilla, which is twice 12. Amen. You know that one pastor's wife has recently commented that Josh Duggar was just a playing doctor. Pastor Pilla, is that in fact, amen, what was going on?
Well,
just playing doctor?
I have an answer for you. From on high, from way above, high up in the sky, straight from the sky, heaven is above. I have a question for you, Brother Bob. Well, let's talk you a bit peculiar. 19 children. I mean, 19 children. She's got to be a soggy banana at this point. That's all I'm going to say, Brother Bob. But let's move on strictly to the point. If we look back into the Leviticus, Brother Bob, the Leviticus, if we look back in Old Testament law, if we think about how God originally wanted things to be before they got so out of hand after the time of the judges, he might have fallen. We might now look as he had fallen. But all he had to do was marry his sisters to honor them. I mean, in the old time.
Pastor Pilla, is you have discerned the kernel, the nugget of my inquiry. Heck, glory, because I do not think that Josh Duggar was a playing doctor, because we all know, hallelujah, we all know that in Bronze Age Levantine desert societies, they had no doctors, amen, glory. He was a playing lot. You know how it was with Lot and his daughters, and Brother Duggar didn't have any daughters of his own, so he had to work it out with his sisters. Amen.
Brother Bob, there's another way to think about this, too. Let's think about it.
I didn't know we were in the thinking business, Pastor.
Oh, no, sometimes you have to think it through. Sometimes you have to... God gave us this brain case, Brother Bob, to think a few things through. And here's one such thing.
Very few.
We know that the book of Genesis is a literal transcription of the making of the universe, do we not, Brother Bone?
Hallelujah. It is the only, it is the only possible explanation for life on Earth. Evolution is a demon, devil-inspired, and it's only a theory.
It is precisely how things happen. Then we must think, Brother Bob, Adam and Eve begat boys and girls. And those boys and girls, did they not beget other boys and girls?
Hallelujah, glory, they did. That's whence we all done
so
come.
What the Duggar family done, ain't against the book of Genesis now, is it, Brother Bob? And that is why God puts the thinking cap inside our brain cage, because we know that God does sometimes endorse incest. My only question to you is, why didn't he go farther? Why didn't he reestablish a true Old Testament term? And why won't the
a
family...
A traditional Bible-based, traditional family values family. Amen, Pastor.
We are going to be the kingdom of God on earth of true family values. That we must recapture the book of Genesis. Well, we know that Adam and Eve's children begat other. And those children begat other. And those children begat other. And only if my good friend Bill Coppett, the Basic Institute of Youth, conflicts Kingpin of Evangelical would be brave enough to say those words. But no, he is struck down by Lucifer, by Baphomet. He has been struck down because he fondled a woman that has run away, Bob. Brother Bob, Bill Gothard has run away from talking about such things. He was the confidant of the Dildos. He was their confidant, and he did not stand up strong enough for a true Genesis revival across this great country of the United States of America. Oh, Brother Bob, I need to go have me a sip of some sweet tea. I need to have a sweet tea ambrosia.
Amen. Here at the Cathedral of Common Sense, we favor nanny goat's milk. It's very sweet. Amen. I have to ask you, Pastor Pilla, I have to ask you right now. We know you're traveling about the country in the platinum RV of Cubic Zirconium Cathedral Ministries. Would you happen to have been through, and I think you said you had, would you happen to have been through Tennessee, Pastor Pilla, any time in the recent past?
Have I been through Tennessee? I have seen Knoxville, Brother Bob. I have seen Nashville, Brother Bob. I have walked the streets of Memphis. I have been to Graceland. I have touched, I have kissed the Bible of Elvis Presley, Brother Bob.
Glory!
I have, in fact, yes, Bob, I have, in fact, been to the volunteer state.
I only ask because another evangelical brother has been working the highways and byways of Tennessee, and I thought perhaps, Pastor Pilla, you might have run across him in your evangelical revival ministry. I'm talking, of course, about Brother Pastor Boyd Watson Holder, Jr., a man of God, a young man of God, a mere 44 years old, another one of those special sacred double numbers, hallelujah.
Oh, that is the lamb chop of God, Brother Bob.
Brother Pastor Boyd Watson Holder, Jr., age 44, is being persecuted. Being persecuted, I tell you, Pastor, down in Tennessee, the forces of darkness, the liberal media, have gotten all over Boyd Watson Holder, Jr. It was last December, Pastor.
Oh, December now. It's been a while. Tell me what Bo has been up to.
Well, you understand, Pastor, December is that time when the liberals and the secularists are out there are making war on Christmas.
Whoa.
Which leads a dedicated evangelist to the streets to counter the evil forces. of Festivus.
Oh.
And so it was. And so it was. That in December, out in the holiness van, Brother Pastor Boyd Watson Jr. heard a pecking, I tell you, Pastor, on the van. And that's when the forces of evil, the liberal police, busted into his van and seen him there on the shag carpeted floor, having sex with a rent boy.
With a reptile?
A rent boy. A young man.
For a second down, I thought he may have done it with a cane.
That might have been more forgivable, Pastor.
Well, I don't know. Have you ever done it with a cloaca, Bob? But we are getting a bit off topic. Back to Mr. Boyd.
Thank you. That saves some small amount of embarrassment of my misspent youth and my heathen days before I accepted the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as my personal prosperity Lord and Savior. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you what, it was tough. But the police decided, since it was the Christmas season, to turn Brother Boyd Watson Holder loose. Pastor Pillar, they turned him loose because they were powerless over the mercy being extended from the hand of God. And they told him to go and screw little boys no more. And then they ordered him off the property.
Wait, the boy? Boyd.
No, they persecuted Boyd Watson Holder Jr. 44 by ordering him off the property.
That is a terrible shame in the eyes of our Lord and Savior.
But our Lord forgives all.
Well, Brother Bob, I have to admit, I'm a bit distracted. You know why I am distracted?
Why are you distracted?
I love Brother Bob.
You're not thinking about the rent. You're not thinking about the rent boy, are you?
No.
All right.
I am distracted, Brother Bob. I'm distracted because you brought up that word, the P word. Do you remember the P word? Well, no, not that word, Brother Bob. The other P word. You said Trestus.
Oh, my stars and garters, absolutely. That is a distracting devil word.
Ever since you did see that word, I've not been able to get my mind off of it. Progressive. There are people, another P word, Bob, in this world who are quote-unquote progressive. You know what they believe in? They believe in sharing, Brother Bob.
Demons.
They believe in treating your Muslim and your Hindu and your Sikh and Shinto and atheist, Bob, brother, equal. Can you believe it? They think that the Constitution was written by Enlightenment philosophical inspired man.
When we all know this is a Judeo-Christian nation founded upon the Lord Judeo-Christian principles.
But, can we get rid of the Judeo part? Let's just face the fact it is a Christian nation.
Well, hallelujah, it's about time somebody said that.
Enough of the Judeo part of the Judeo. Get rid of the Judeo, we are straight up. You know, have you ever, in your fallen youth, gone into the bar, Brother Bob, and ordered a burger and ordered it neat? You just wanted your drink, your spirit, your liquor.
Amen. No chaser, Pastor Pillar.
That's right. Not only no chaser, don't even put an ice cube in it. Don't even put an ice cube in it. I want it straight. And I want my cross straight, Brother Bob.
Unadulterated.
I want my cross free. I don't want no mixing of no Pentateuch. I don't want no mixing of no Mosaic law. I just want a straight cross. I just want a Christian nation, Brother Bob.
Amen. Hallelujah.
But do you know who's getting in the way, Brother Bob?
Who's getting in the way, Pastor Pillar?
The progressives.
They're everywhere.
And I'll tell you what, I do have a solution. Holy God, Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy. I remember when we were at Oral Fantasy, they would tell me, that's how you say it. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Father. Well, I had some redemption, Brother Paul. Do you know about my new missionary endeavor?
I do not. Share it with us.
I am reaching out to the progressives, Brother Bob. There's a website out there. It is www.forwardprogressives.com. They are some of the most hideous progressive socialist Marxist thinkers there are.
They're not. They haven't been affected by the evil of the Kenyan Muslim socialism over at Forward Progressives, have they?
They are anti-Republican, Brother Bob. ForwardProgressives.com. They have a Facebook page, too. They are evil, Brother Bob. But guess what? The Spirit of the Lord has allowed me to have a weekly column on Sunday mornings with them. Right on Sunday morning, you could hear the words of Pastor Pillar on the channel of the evil. ForwardProgressives.com. I'm so sorry to go astray there. But that's all I could think of when you brought up that word. Now, I asked the brother for it.
No, just as Lottie Moon went unto the heathen with the message of the gospel. Hallelujah. Amen. You are going to the progressive. You are going, taking salvation to the progressives. And I sanctify you for it. Amen. And amen.
I want to bring the well-hung Jesus to the progressives. ForwardProgressives.com Sunday morning, you will be able to hear Pastor Pillow until the end of time, until God chooses to take me back up into the lovely ambrosia, gold brick field. Heaven, Brother Bob. Oh, it's so beautiful.
Pastor Pillow, I have to tell you, this has been a magnificent and spirit-filled hour of glory. Praise, worship, and uplift.
I got one more thing, Brother Bob.
Amen, Pastor Pillar. Bring it.
I have one more message. I have a missile, as it were, from the Spirit. Come on right now. Are you ready? Are you ready, Brother Bob?
I'm ready. I'm ready, Pastor.
Somewhere in Europe right now, Brother Bob. Somebody is crying out for him. Somebody's crying out. Oh, I think you're not being hungry. And hungry, Brother Bob. Somebody's crying out for help. There's a listener in Budapest. In Budapest, right now, is crying out to the Lord. And they are tuning in. They're turning in to the horn. And on radio right now.
Amen!
They do not know what to do with the $17.5 million they just have. Now, it might not just be Budapest. It might be that woman in Dallas who also handed a $10.3 million. It might be that one person outside the gas station in Newark who just won in the lottery $150, but she shouldn't be paying the lottery anyway. Now people are over the floor.
There's only one way to cleanse money from the sin of gambling, such as was done at the foot of the cross when they gambled with the raiment of the Lord. Amen. Amen.
You see what I'm saying, Brother Bob, all across this world right now? There are people wondering what to do with their ill-gotten gains, with their good-gotten gains, and they should put them in the plate right now for the horn. Right now,
Amen.
We have stopped to go on our mission trip to the safari. The safari in Kenya. We have got mission trips in Euro Disney plans. We have got mission trips to the next World Cup. We have got so many mission trips we must fund, Brother Bob. And there I will leave it with you.
Testify, donate, amen, amen. The missionary work never ends for tireless conveyors of the salvation prosperity gospel. Amen, Pastor Pillar. You know what? Gulfstream Fives don't make their own payments, brother.
Brother Bob, I'm going to go take a swim now in the Jordan. I'm going to go take a swing in the door, and it might involve a little old granddad, but that's all I got to say.
Just a dram, Pastor Pillar, just a dram.
Oh, just a dram. Oh, drown in the dram of Jesus. PolarProgressive.com. You can find me every Sunday morning. Brother Bob, I've got souls to save, and I must now depart. I will be guided by the Spirit everywhere I go.
Let the cloak of the Spirit fall from you, Pastor Pillar, as I introduce, ladies and gentlemen, from forwardprogressives.com, the one, the only, Eric Bjorn. You can really find Pastor Pillar's commentary every Sunday over at forwardprogressives.com, and you will enjoy the Dickens out of it. Eric is, among other things, an author. Tell us a little bit about your books, Eric.
Well, Brother Bob, I am the author of Birds of a Feather and Why Bad Things Happen to Good Parents and Pastor Pillow's Talks, which you can find on Amazon.com or Good Words or Goodreads, or Smashwords, and my name, oddly spelled, is Eric, A-R-I-K, Bjorn, B-J-O-R-N. Eric Bjorn, find me on Amazon.com.
Very good, very good. I'm sure at some point in time we'll have you back over, and we'll just use our regular personae and maybe discuss a little bit of the foolishness of the right-wing religion industry. And I think we'll have I'm guessing a pretty darn good time doing it. We were talking there about Brother Pastor Boyd Watson Holder Jr. You know, it wasn't just the gay that he was engaging in the back of the van. It's the fact that now, as of this past February, the church coffers, or church drawers, if you prefer to look at it that way, the church drawers have been raided to the tune of somewhere between $60,000 and $100,000. Oh, Pastor Boyd. You want to send a little bit of that our way, buddy? This is the fun part. When the church asked him what happened to the money, he said, "Ain't none of your business." Turns out he spent a lot of it over at FarmersOnly.com.
No, Bob, I got to say, I grew up in a fundamentalist Christian home, and Pastor Pillar, unfortunately, sometimes gets a little too close to home. There's all sorts of stories like that, and that's why I created him.
Well, the fact of the matter is, prayer meeting Wednesday exists like it does because I am a recovering Southern Baptist, and these guys are real. And
yeah, they are real. They're very real, Bob. And again, I write about them on forwardprogressives.com as well. Copy up. You can find me. My name is Eric, ARIKBJORN.
Well, I hope some of your Forward Progressive friends are listening this evening. And I hope they will feel free to join in the conversation here, because you know, it's here 3 hours a night, 5 nights a week, and it's considerably saner than what you and I just did for the last 50 minutes or so, by a long shot.
Just imagine, Bob, they have to keep it up all the time.
Man. If nothing else, you got to give them points for method acting, don't you?
We do, and that's the thing. I wish everybody realized and understood the gig that they are on. You know, you can just watch the movie Leap of Faith. Steve Martin saved yourself a lot of time, but it was fun. Thanks for having me on. I can't wait to come back, Bob.
Oh, it was an absolute blast, Eric. You are welcome anytime.
Awesome. See you in a couple of weeks.
All right. Bye now. And the multi-talented Eric Bjorn has left the building. We'll take a little break because it's going to take a whole roll of prayer hankies to sop up the flop sweat flying around the Horn Studio sauna right now, and we'll get back and we'll get into a little bit of the news of the day. And there's more prayer meeting Wednesday news, you know, unfortunately. This is listener-supported conversation radio. I would like to extend thanks for the $45 that have popped into the plate. That's about a tenth of what we're looking to raise this evening, but thank you very kindly to Brother Deacon Asa for kicking in, and to an anonymous contributor for that contribution as well. 200 is the minimum, and 400 is where we need to be, because, well, frankly,
it has been, I don't know, the months are just kind of brutal, but this has been a particularly brutal one, and every love offering helps, believe you me. You know the numbers, 304-574-8178, and the stress line, 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is The Horn, and I'm Bob Kincaid. the little wind up monkey toy sound effect that really makes that the beginning and end. One of my all-time favorite albums, kind of a one-off, The Crash Test Dummies and God Shuffled His Feet, all the way back to 1993. Wow. And, yeah, I still, it's brilliant. I still sit around listening to it from time to time. Really, that was a load of fun. And Eric Bjorn is freaking brilliant. And his Pastor Pillow commentaries every Sunday at forwardprogressives.com are not to be missed. Listen, if I should screw up and slip back into Brother Bob mode, somebody slap me, would you? I'm going to try to get through this without going back there because you may not realize it, but Brother Bob occasions the need for a bleach shower every time I do it. Yuck, just a little too close to reality. But there was some mention of the Duggars. Our buddy Michael in Madison pointed out something to me via Facebook a little earlier today. I find it, gratifying. Look, if you listen to this program, you are out in front of the curve. Okay? You just are. And you're in front of things that, will happen later. For instance, and this just tickles me pink, apparently Dan Savage, the man who gave us the term Santorum, and look who jumped into the presidential contest on the Republican side today. Do you think old Rents Priebus, which can be cured by about 1 million units of penicillin, do you think old Rents Priebus is finally just sitting there going, oh, Jesus, not another one? Oh, no. Really? Him? Again? Yeah. And really, New York Times, why did you bother to... I got a breaking news alert from the New York Times that Rick Santorum, Bro Fromix, had joined the presidential clown parade. Eesh. But anyway, Rick Santorum... So Dan Savage caught up to something a couple of days after I invented it. I've got the tweets and the Facebooking to prove it, and mentioned it here on the program. Was it Monday? Headline over at Raw Story, Dan Savage wants to make Duggar the new Santorum. Clearly, Duggery needs to be a word. I thought so, too, a couple of days ago. How about a little credit, a little credit over this way, if you don't mind, Dan? He posted on Twitter yesterday, clearly, Duggery needs to be a word. Should it mean sexual hypocrisy, fundy hypocrisy, child molestation? I already provided a very specific definition. Mike Lukovich at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution also read. Apparently, it was not that yeah. But still. If it gets included in the Oxford the unabridged Oxford Dictionary of the English Language, I'm going to raise hell to be part of the etymology of the word. I absolutely am. So good luck, Dan Savage. He's had a good bit of luck with Santorum in the past. A couple of Duggery things, and we'll move on. I freaking hope this story continues to just sicken me. Everyone knows by now that Jim Bob Duggar, who is extra special creepy too, Jim Bob Duggar ran for Senate some years back from the state of Arkansas. He was beaten by Asa Hutchinson's brother, Tim. Yeah. Well, you can't find it online anymore, but one of his policy statements was cached on the Internet because there's just something about these people that makes you want to save things. Positional statements. Jim Bob Duggar, U.S. Senate. He's got his little Jesus fish out there. beside his name. Positional statements. We will leave that to be handled by the goddess of irony now, won't we? Abortion. Question. What is your abortion position? Really, still leaving that to the goddess of irony. And specifically, where do you stand on rape? Well, you got to be pretty close. I said we were going to leave it to the goddess. Incest. Incest. And threat to the mother's health. What is your abortion position, and specifically, where do you stand on rape, incest, and threat to the mother's health? Answer. Grab the hockey puck, please, because we really don't need to leave this to the goddess of irony. The goddess of irony already has it firmly in her grasp. Answer. If a woman is raped, the rapist should be executed instead of the innocent unborn baby. Adoption is an option. Adoption is an option. Many couples would love to adopt and are waiting for a baby, even if it's a rape baby. Mr. and Mrs. Jesus Freak, we have an adoption available. It's a rape baby. Yes, yes. It's not just a rape baby. It's an incest rape baby. What do you mean you don't want it? It's always like this. Abortion has been and always will be the destruction of an innocent child. Granted, one without a brainstem, or a spinal column, or much to recommend it as a human being, more like a tadpole. But anyway, rape and incest represent heinous crimes and as such should be treated as capital crimes, to wit, you know, executable. Death penalty crimes. The developing infant committed no crime and should be allowed to live. Here comes the good part. In the unlikely event that the life of both mother and baby would both be lost, for example, a tubal pregnancy, all should be done to save the life of the mother. Mm-hmm. There it is. Rape and incest represent heinous crimes and as such should be treated as capital crimes. In other words, he thinks his own son should be executed. But not really. Because just as God reached down and stayed the hand of Abraham as he was about to gut little Isaac like a fish, they were stayed from meeting out some good old-fashioned Old Testament justice to Josh Duggar. But this case really won't go away. Among other things, the buddy of Jim Bob Duggar, who gave Josh the stern talking to, who is now doing somewhere north of 50 years in the Arkansas penitentiary for child pornography. Yeah, really. That's really one of the defining characteristics of this entire case, isn't it? He took his son to a state police officer in the Arkansas State Police who had a thing for child pornography. Mm-hmm. But from inside the stir, Joseph Hutchins, doing 56 big for child pornography, said that Jim Bob lied to him. Jim Bob explained to me that Josh inappropriately touched a victim while she was asleep. I'm a Christian myself, said the convicted child pornographer, and I worry that if something else had happened, I would have been responsible. Which might have been sentences that he wound up serving consecutively and not concurrently to the child pornography charge. And by the way, no, he wasn't just looking. You don't get 56 big for just looking. He was distributing child pornography. I did what I thought was right, and obviously it wasn't. Kind of like that whole child porn thing. If I had to do it over again, I would have told him immediately, I'm going to call the hotline and contacted the trooper that worked those cases and have a full report made. I thought I could handle it myself. Handle it. Or maybe he thought Josh could be groomed. One never knows. But it won't go away. It absolutely will not go away. It turns out that back in 2007, when some of this stuff was first being revealed, yeah, Josh Duggar sued the Arkansas Department of Human Services because they had actually investigated him on multiple counts of sexual assault. In Touch Weekly, doing the actual journalism on all of this. Hey, New York Times, where are you? Yeah, I didn't think so. Rick Santorum's going to run for president. See? With New York Times journalism, for-profit media. Yes! The Springdale Police Department did, in 2006, in fact, refer the Duggar file, or the file full of Duggery, to the Families in Need of Services Agency in Arkansas. They informed the Arkansas Department of Human Services. And then as the investigation proceeded, Josh Duggar filed suit. And the investigation folded like a cheap suit or a house of cards. The suit even went to trial on August the 6th, 2007, according to In Touch Weekly. The results of the investigation into the Duggars and Josh's trial are sealed. And even this story over at Raw Story gets it wrong. Josh Duggar admitted last Thursday to multiple counts of molesting underage girls. Bullshit! He admitted that he had engaged in incestuous molestation, at least in four counts, if not five. So, just, you know, enjoy the reassuring knowledge that a certain amount of white Christian privilege can get you out of just about anything. Michael and Madison reminding us, slogan, Santorum Brownback 2016. Michael says, old joke, I know, but that's all Santorum is anyway. Yeah, you guys try your hands at satire, and it's so delightful. This just in, Rents Priebus and Cletus to tie the knot in an RNC ceremony. Thanks, Randy. Sylvia with a note. Oh, Bob, thank you for the excruciating hour of power pain. I'm so grateful I don't have to experience that frequently, or I would be inhabiting a loony bin. I'm sorry, Mr. Stress, Bill from Cleveland missed this. I would have loved to have heard his comments. I'm sure they would have been pithy. Oh, pithy indeed, indeed. Yeah, it is not lost on me that In Touch magazine is the one breaking all the information about the doings of the Duggery family over there at the Touching Little Children channel. Like I said, there is so much work to be done this evening, much of it having to do with the religion industry because it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday. This story goes back to Friday, and Anne Graham Lotz is some sort of spawn of Billy Graham. Don't think about it. Just don't. But there's a program out there somewhere in right-wing evangelical fundamentalist world called True News. And Anne Graham Lotz was invited onto True News because of her May Day prayer. May Day, May Day! Yeah, she prayed her some May Day to her great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. We even covered that, where Anne Graham Lotz said that Jesus is coming back in her lifetime. Well, she went on True News to talk with Rick Wiles about what the else, abortion and gay marriage. Because that's all Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter and day laborer and itinerant semi-literate rabbi ever thought about was abortion and gay rights and how nobody was supposed to have neither one. And she's got it all doped out. You might want to have the hockey puck handy. Really, you might. So here comes Anne Graham Lotz in a rapture of prophetic doom and gloom prophecy over a couple of guys picking out a freaking China pattern.
And when we turn our backs on Israel, when we abandon Israel and no longer are her friends but side with her enemies, I believe that may be the tipping point. So, and if we...
What about the upcoming Supreme Court decision expected in June on same-sex marriage?
It depends on how they, what they come up with, of course. But I think... There are three things that I think, I believe what we're doing to Israel is the tipping point. I'm going to have to say that because I know Israel is like the apple of God's eye, and I believe if we turn against her, which we actually have.
Really? When did we cancel the $3 billion that we give them in welfare every year? Because I missed that. That's some back turning we're doing. Here, we're turning on our backs on you here. We're reaching behind our backs with the $3 billion. Here, take it. You got it? Okay, good.
It's just stunning to me. How can America be on the dark side of prophecy? That has been grievous to me. So I think that may be the tipping point. But if we change what God has established from creation as an institution, which is marriage, in other words, the homosexuals are asking to join the institution, I think it was William Rehnquist, that they're not asking to join it, they're asking to change it. So they're asking 9 Supreme Court justices to change an institution that God established and has been in place since creation.
That's the part that just gets me every time, that God established. And I can't sort it out inside my own head. Do they really believe that? Okay, let's default to they really believe that. So since they really believe that, good for them, they have First Amendment freedoms and rights to believe as they wish. But then are they, A, so damn dumb and dim that they don't understand that the rest of us don't have to believe that? Or B, do they understand that the rest of us don't have to believe that, and they damned well sure want to make this a theocracy so we do, and the ones of us who don't can be taken out behind the barn and, shot? I keep coming down on the ladder. These evangelical, fundamentalist Christians scare me a hell of a lot more than ISIS does. Because the evangelical, fundamentalist Christians are here.
And no nation, to my knowledge, and I've had friends who've asked rabbis to research it, No nation in human history has ever done this. You know, there have been gay relationships and civil unions and recognition.
Well, they're going to have to shut up about that now that Ireland took care of it. Mm-hmm.
...of gay couples and other empires, but no nation has ever changed the institution of marriage, you know, and drawn and allowed them to change it so that it suits their agenda. And that is really taking your dust fist and shaking it right in God's face and say, we don't care.
Your dust fist. Your dust fist and shaking it in God's... What? Oh, dust to dust and all of that stuff. Well, I'd say in the grand scheme of rock, paper, scissors and dust versus I think a dust fist could probably knock the snot out of nothing at all. Right? Yeah. Ooh-wee! So I guess that Ireland is on the clock. It's going to have to sink beneath the wave or be gobbled up by a great big leprechaun or I don't know, pestilence and frogs and locusts and rivers of blood or something. Because otherwise it's going to turn out that, hey, look, everybody, Ireland just proved your mean-ass God doesn't exist. Oh, how about that? Charming.
You know, we don't, not only do we not agree with this, we're going to change it. We become our own gods, so to speak. The third thing that I think will push us into that judgment is, of course, the abortion issue. And when you've taken the lives of 60 million, just about 60 million innocent babies, then I think for that and these other reasons, God just says, I've had enough. And I just gave two messages from the book of Joel, and the theme of Joel is the day of the Lord is soon, or the day of the Lord is near. And
no, damn it, it's the day of the Lord is nigh. Nigh, Ann. Oh, and apparently, thank you, Irish Dave. Ann Graham Lotz is, in fact, Billy Graham's daughter, and she used to be Lotz's wife. Wonder if she's salty. No, she didn't. No, I didn't hear her do any swearing, did you? It didn't sound like a salt, no. So at some point in time, I mean, with all of this promising and prophesying, at some point in time do we get to look at her and go, okay, so you and everybody who believes like you are freaking idiots, and so we can either put you away somewhere or you can go away quietly because you're just babbling nonsense now. You pick. Go away or be taken away. One or the other. Go live on a little island somewhere, as long as it's not Ireland. They don't want you. Oh, by the way, sweet Jesus, the Westboro Baptist weirdos, that other little clan of quiverful types, you know, they were quiverful when the Duggars were just pikers. They've said that they are off to Ireland under the hashtag not banned. And we do. We've got a couple or three listeners on the Emerald Isle. Could you guys maybe reach out to your government and let them know that these hate mongers are coming so that you can maybe close the gates? Trust me. And you know how I feel about that phrase, but in this case I mean it. Trust me. You don't want, and I would be happy for you to have them and not let them back out again, but I love Ireland. And we're a bigger country, so we've got more room to sort of ignore them in. So why don't you just shut the gates and not let them in? Because, well, then again, it might be kind of fun to see, what's the wonderful drag performer and rights act, Panty Bliss. Wouldn't it be fun to see her, him? I think he identifies as a gay man. Wouldn't it be fun to see Panty Bliss take on the Westboro Baptist bunch? I think I know which way I'd put my bets. Mm-hmm. Okay, back to Lotz's wife.
Day of the Lord is a time when God sort of draws a line in the sand. And he says, I've just had enough. My patience has run out. I'm no longer going to strive with man. And God strives with man like he did in Genesis 6. He restrains evil so life can go on. If he no longer does that.
You know, except when he's being evil himself and trying to wipe out everything on the planet. What do unicorns ever do?
Then evil comes in like a flood and life unravels, which is where we are today. And so there comes a point when God says, I'm just not going to restrain evil anymore. I'm going to back away. You keep telling me to get out of schools, to get out of your business, to get out of your government, to, you know, get out of your public square. And so God backs away.
Sooner the better. Ay, ay, ay. They keep saying this, and they keep talking about the veil of protection being lifted. Do you get a sense, listening to idiots like this woman, do you get a sense that she gets sort of turned on talking about it? That it's going to be a real, thrill for her if she can just see some homosexuals and some liberal progressive secularists get just skewered by her God right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's liable to start masturbating and praying at the same time on the spot. What a sickening, sickening attempt at being a member of the human race. Yeah, I know, Marty. Marty with a simple email. Israel again? Eh. Oh, an apology from Michael in Madison. Left out the punchline. Santorum Brownback, 2016, because America needs a cause and an effect. Nice. And thank you to Brother Danny, who righteously enjoyed the colloquy between Brother Bob and Pastor Pillow. He says it was a laugh riot. He said $50 coming as appreciation for prayer meeting Wednesday and Eric's participation, and challenge everyone else to show their appreciation, even if it's only $5. As always, Danny continues, thanks for making this otherwise. I have the loaded gun pressed to the side of my head, crazy country, bearable, if only for another day. Thank you, Danny. Thank you. Robert in Australia, with a note, subject line, killing of innocents. If one is against abortion, a.k.a. the killing of innocent babies, shouldn't one be against the blanket bombing of foreign countries where innocent babies are blown to bits? Or don't foreign babies matter? No, they're not, because they're heathens. Okay, they were gonna go to hell anyway. Nits make lice, right? Sure. I mean, there were, oh, God only knows how many retroactive abortions performed at the word of George W. Dim Leader Bush and Richard B. Dick Big Time before he dicks you, Cheney, in the Iraq War, and Lord knows in Afghanistan as well. But they don't count being brown and Muslimy and stuff. I think you've got the gist of it, Robert. Onward we go, because it's all ever so weird on days like this. We're halfway through the program, and both lines are open if you wish to join in the conversation. Area code 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. That's the stress line, named in honor of Mr. Stress. And Skype to Skype is Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. All three methods get you through right quick and right easy. It doesn't get any easier, however, dealing with these dumbasses. You remember a couple of years ago when the right-wingers got all flipped out because of something our dear friend Mike Malloy said as to just curious why it is that the places where Jesus is most loved seem to be the places that get slaughtered by tornadoes the most often. Well, it's about to happen to Bill Nye the Science Guy, too. It's already happening. So, he took to the Twitters, Bill Nye the Science Guy did, to write, "Billions in damage in Texas and Oklahoma, still no weathercaster may utter the phrase climate change." And I don't know how it is the weirdos pick up. Maybe they just follow the feed because they need to get angry periodically or something. But one right-wing idiot who goes by the name of Jammy WF said, "Hey, dipshit non-science guy, give your climate scam a rest while they're still searching for bodies, thinking asshole." Then over at that sick little website run by the anchor baby Michelle Malkin, that's their phrase, not mine. I personally say, hey, you know, come on in, welcome. But no, she's an igamfoo. I got mine FU. And talks about anchor babies and stuff like that when she herself is one. They said, it's just predictable. Although just last year it was drought in Texas that was caused by global warming. What's even funnier is that Nye thinks his alarmism that blames every single weather event on man-made global warming is just what's needed to convince more people that the alarmist camp knows what it's talking about. Because that's what it is, it's alarmism. The CEO of AXA Insurance that we discussed a couple of nights ago, it's just alarmism. He's just looking for a reason to jack up rates is all. It gets a little confusing trying to square up all the right-wing contradictions. Teabagger, Jade Helm, fearmonger Governor Greg Abbott in Texas is going to get himself poked by a lightning bolt from the Almighty if he's not careful, because he has referred to the flooding in Texas as the biggest flood this area of Texas has ever seen, when we know it can't possibly be true. Because the biggest area that part of Texas has ever seen is the great flood of the Noah time. Because Greg Abbott is an evangelical fundamentalist who believes that the book of Genesis is a literal history of life on earth. So that means, by definition, what's hit Texas cannot be the biggest it's ever seen, because that would be the flood that wiped out the unicorns. Stupid, stupid people. But in terms of climate change denying, you got to work hard to beat Mark, and thank you, Goddess of Irony, thank you, Mark Morano. No, really, that's his name, M-O-R-A-N-O, Morano. Morano! Yeah, I won't sing anymore. Mark Morano is a great big whopping climate change denier, and he is apparently with or sponsored by or supported by, you know, Wingnut Welfare, the Heartland Institute, which is really upset with Pope Frank for thinking that climate change is real. They had a little clavern meeting in Rome last month, the Heartland Institute did. The Heartland Institute calls itself the world's leading think tank promoting scientific skepticism about man-caused global warming. They get their wingnut welfare from the Charles G. Koch Charitable Foundation. Yeah, Mark Morano. Okay, no, I said I wouldn't do that. I may have to do it a few more times. He's the executive editor of ClimateDepot.com. Climate Depot. Farmers only. Ooh, I smell a jingle. You can deny science at ClimateDepot.com. No. Let's see. The Farmers Only. You don't have to be lonely at FarmersOnly.com. You don't have to be brainy at ClimateDepot.com. There it is! But he's decided to work my side of the street a little bit. What I mean by that is Mark Morano. Oh, man, the reverb would be so freaking handy here. Got to figure that out. The Moranos, who deny climate change, constantly have to try to find some way to demonstrate that very real climate science isn't. Oh, screw it. Go to the audio. Sure. Rome, Italy, April 28th.
Thank you. I just came over from the Vatican conference with Ban Ki-moon. Actually, there'll be an article up about our experience over there, but they do not tolerate dissent very well over there. And Ban Ki-moon said something a little bit chilling. He said, science and religion are united on this issue, which kind of leaves an unsettled feeling when you hear the UN chief talking about science and religion going together.
Woo! UN! Woo! Blue helmets! Booga, booga, booga! Agenda 21! Woo! 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 Common Core! Woo! I have to tell you that from the image side of this, the video side of this, Mark Morano is standing behind an Apple computer. And I don't care if you're Apple or Microsoft. You know what? I'd write a letter saying, Dear idiots, our devices are built using proven scientific principles that are real and not faith-based. We would not be able to sell a computer were it not for the fact that when you push the power button, very, very predictable things based upon science and statistics happen inside that little box. As such, we would gratefully request that you stop using our stuff when you're talking about your stupid non-science, or at least cover up our Apple logo, because we're rather ashamed that we're in the same picture with you. Marty. Mark Morano did, in fact, say that dissent is not tolerated. Yet, oddly enough, he's standing there with all his limbs and his noggin still attached to him. Seems like they tolerated it pretty good. But he has to come over and get all persecuty, right? So, here with Mark Morano.
Together. My talk today is called Unholy Alliance, the Pope, the Vatican, and the UN Climate Agenda.
Well, what about the Bilderbergers and the Bohemian Grove and chemtrails? Come on!
This, first of all, a little bit of mood for the day. This was an Earth vigil at the New York City climate march they had back in September. And these people were very serious. They were trying to feel the spirit of the Earth. They didn't allow cameras. They were very hostile and aggressive to any media who showed up. This was a very sacred event to them, and they had it multiple times throughout the march, different locations. One of the things I want to mention is the Gallup survey.
Apparently there's a PowerPoint involved. Mercifully, we don't have to look at it. I'm sure it's a photographic equivalent of hippie punching, but right.
Global warming is dead last among all issues. And in 2015, the latest data, it's now the lowest level since 1989.
You notice how there's nobody in that room to absorb any of that reverb, any of that echo, any of that sound? I don't think it's just because they had some novice who didn't know how to set up a mix. Mm-mm. I think the camera angle is what it is, because there's nobody there.
This is the lowest, not only of every issue other than race relations, but it's actually the lowest environmental issue. So the American public, at the very least, cannot say louder how much they don't care about it. The Pope is turning to the United Nations as a source of the...
Whore of Babylon! I'm waiting for it.
Science. Well, this is really a great quote that sums it up. The UN Climate Panel is purely a political body posing as a scientific institution. We have Rajendra Pachauri, who is on record, the now disgraced chairman who resigned, as saying they are at the beck and call of governments. It answers to politics. UN lead author Richard Toll said global warming has become...
Skip a bit, brother.
The agenda view is, yeah, they can develop, but they have to learn from the developing world.
You notice how it seems like we didn't skip anything at all? He sounds just as stupid at 3:46 as he did at 1:12.
World's mistakes, and we have to centrally plan it. We can't let them make our mistakes. So essentially, they will allow them to develop at much lower rates with energy that the United Nations and international bodies deem necessary. That's the key difference, because they won't argue, many of them will not argue that they're against development. They want to manage their development, and that's the question.
Well, you know, on a planet with 8 billion people on it, maybe you might want to manage development. I mean, just saying.
To a South African development activist who said, when Washington and London and Paris and France level their cities and return them to swamps, wetlands, and jungles, only then can they lecture the developing world on what they can use with their natural resources and their energy choices.
Somehow that doesn't sound like a development activist. That sounds like a corporate activist, but who am I?
Climate astrology. Pope Francis may be surprised to learn that no matter what weather event happens or climate event, it's always exactly what the models predicted. There's no way you can falsify their theory. Gore always claimed, and the United Nations claims snow.
Did you notice that? Did that one blow past you? Because it almost did me. There's no way you can falsify their theory. You know what you call a theory that cannot be falsified? A law! You also can't falsify gravity. At least here on Earth. You know, these goobers are more than welcome to sail off toward Norblap 12 and see if they can falsify it there, and I wish they would. I mean, you know, sail away, that is. The sail away part, they're not going to falsify it. No. Yeah. The pain continues. Let's see if he sounds the same at 7 minutes that he did at 3:40.
Burn in hell, New York Times. Paul Krugman, to those who deny global warming, quote, these are on the pages of the New York Times. This wasn't said at some conference. On the
liberal media!
The print pages of the New York Times, may you be punished in the afterlife for denying global warming. And he calls climate denial an almost inconceivable sin. Ban Ki-moon, 2 blocks this morning. Science and religion are united on global warming. Have we advanced? UK scientist Philip Stott, when the Babylon of Gilgamesh and the Post-Eden of Noah, every age has viewed climate change cataclysmically as retribution for human greed and sinfulness. Ban Ki-moon, about an hour ago, talked about a complete altering of our lifestyles and our way, the same as Christina Fillon and other UN officials have talked about openly, a transformation of traditional of our way of life in order to fight global warming.
Hey, dumbass, when the coal's gone, when the oil's gone, when the gas is gone, there's going to be an essential transformation of our way of life, and it's not going to be because of Ban Ki-moon or Paul Krugman or anybody else. It's going to be because of idiots like you who said, drill, baby, drill! Burn some more of it! Woo, freedom! That's who it's going to be because of.
Have we advanced? During the Salem witch trials, women suspected of being witches were...
We're at the Salem witch trials?
...accused of changing the weather. serious scholarly study in the Journal of Economic Perspectives, Emily Oster.
Okay, you notice how I just blows past that witches were accused of changing the weather line? Who accused the witches of changing the weather? Hint? Not scientists! Bigger hint? Religious people! So I guess the attempt is to somehow equate... Oh, and by the way, those weren't Catholic witch trials in Salem. Those were Protestant witch trials. So it wasn't part of the Inquisition. This was something that the Puritans came up with by themselves. They're such clever chaps, weren't they? Yeah. More weight, baby. Mm-hmm. All right, onward we go.
Harvard researcher, lower temperatures caused a statistical increase in witch trials during the Little Ice Age. And now, 2014, 2015, blizzards, heat waves, floods, droughts, even earthquakes are causing a statistical increase in claims of proof of global warming. And here is something we don't want the current Pope Francis to make. Medieval Pope Innocent VIII in 1484, this is again according to Harvard researcher Emily Oster, he talked about the medieval settled science. What was the medieval settled science? Quote, "It is reasonable to conclude that just as easily as witches raise hailstorms, they can cause lightning and storms at sea. And so no doubt at all remains on these points."
Again. That would be really convincing if it had been referred to in 1484 as settled science. It wasn't. It was a matter of theology, not science. "Explain to me again, my lord, how sheep's bladders can be used..." Arthur, King of the Britons! Oh, don't grovel! Sorry, lord, and don't apologize! Right?
There was a 97% consensus.
Oh, and he left out the fact that the earthquakes and the volcanoes are caused by the homosexuals. You don't know nothing about science.
In the Middle Ages, that witches caused bad weather. And now we're told there's a 97% consensus that every storm and every bad weather event is now all either global warming has contributed to or it's caused by global warming. Have we advanced? Aztec priests encourage people to sacrifice.
Okay, here's the fun part. Back up. One, Aztec priests. Wrong, dipshit! Wrong. They were not the Aztecs, they were the Mexica. And I know, I get touchy about this. But, this persistent insistence by white, privileged Europeans to just run around naming any people that they... what are we going? Oh, we'll call them Indians. This ain't India. Who cares? You over there? Yeah, you're the Aztecs. No, we're not. You are now. At least the ones we haven't killed yet. Let's check in on the Aztec priests.
97% consensus in the Middle Ages that witches caused bad weather. And now we're told there's a 97% consensus that every storm and every bad weather event is now all either global warming has contributed to or it's caused by global warming. Have we advanced? Aztec priests encouraged people to sacrifice blood to the gods to end severe drought in 1450, sacrificed thousands of people in a few weeks to end the drought. Today we're told we need a fundamental
work too. Drought ended, didn't it? Yeah. Because, see, it's the same thing. Religious superstition is the same thing as, quantified, qualified, scientific measurement of various and sundry natural forces. To end a drought in 1450. I want to make sure we get that route right.
In storms at sea. And so no doubt at all remains on these points. There was a 97% consensus in the Middle Ages that witches caused bad weather. And now we're told...
Shut up.
Today we're told we need a fundamental transformation of our lives in order to end bad weather. We're told we need EPA regulations and UN treaties in order...
Yeah, see? EPA regulations are just like human sacrifice. The only thing, only problem being that not doing anything about global climate change is like human sacrifice. And by the way, just because this guy is dumber than a post turtle, a little clarity on this. I think he should be very, very careful about messing around with my personal deity, Xipe-Totec, the dear one flayed. I know Xipe-Totec is particularly dear to our buddy Dr. John as well. Every spring, for thousands of years in Mesoamerica, there would come around the celebration and feast of Xipe-Totec, the dear one flayed. In advance of that, a young person, sometimes a girl, sometimes a boy, would be feted and feasted and encouraged to have sex with whomever and whenever and however. And then at the end of it all, they would be drugged, taken up atop the temple, have their throats slit, and then carefully have their skins flayed from their bodies, after which one of your smaller priests would then don the skin of the dear one flayed, which is what the person was portraying in the ceremony, and take their thigh bones and go and dance around in the skin of the dead sacrificial victim, blessing people with the bone. And you know what happened because of that? The corn came up every spring. The maize grew from the spilled blood of the dear one flayed. That's right, Mark Morano. You fuck with the dear one flayed. You mess with Xipe-Totec. See what happens. Yeah, somebody may drop a house on you, buddy. It won't be my fault. You're the one out there blaspheming Xipe-Totec. Xipe-Totec is part of an entire pantheon of Mexica gods. I mean, for God's sake, Xipe-Totec's brother is Huitzilopochtli, who is the god of war, who will surely... you up. And I only mention this because he's saying that that is the same thing as science. Holy mother of Coatlicue. Man. This guy hadn't got any sense at all. I mean, there's so many different ways to get completely screwed messing with these deities. I mean, he's running across, running crosswise to, it's Papalote. Huehuetenango? Being as how he's talking about climate change not being real, he may very well be getting on the fighting side of Xalchihuitlicue. And I am absolutely certain, based on what's going on in Texas, where they deny climate change for all their worth, that they have really, really sincerely pissed off Tlaloc. And the goddess of love and flowers, the sweet and the dear Xochiquetzal, she ain't going to have nothing to do with you, Mark Morano. But it's that Winslow Pope that I would that I'd get serious about if I were you, Mark Morano, because he will sincerely, and I mean really, ruin your damn day.
They can cause lightning and storms at sea. And so no doubt at all remains on these points. There was a 97% consensus in the Middle Ages that witches caused bad weather. And now we're told there's today we're told we need a fundamental transformation of our lives in order to end bad weather. We're told we need EPA regulations.
You notice that? In order to end bad weather. No, there's always going to be bad weather. But really, bad weather is not the same as climate change. Good weather is not the same as climate change. Climate change is a function of extremes, but you know that. And yet, what do you want to bet, insofar as they schlepped him all the way to Rome, what do you want to bet that Mark Morano is making somewhere north of 150 large a year? Courtesy of Chuck Koch. I mean, granted, Pastor Pillow and I had our fun. But if Pastor Pillow and Brother Bob were real, there really would be a Platinum RV and a Gulfstream 5 and a goddamn Maybach out in the garage. Because that kind of stupid among the billionaire class pays. Because other stupids will follow it. Yeah, I know. It's interesting how it's always the women to blame who get slaughtered for the crazy fucked up beliefs of white privileged men. Isn't it? Isn't it just? Ron, up in Canada, says, you know, listening to Brother Morano, I have this recurring image going through my mind. This way to the egress. Old P.T. Barnum is undoubtedly laughing his ass off. I mean, according to Mark Morano, humanity should just be like bunnies, you know, procreate, eat, drink, and be merry. There ain't no climate change. The Maldives aren't sinking under the damn wave. Hell no. So he's actually in line with Roman Catholic procreation policy. Which ye have always with ye.
Regulations and UN treaties in order to spare us from more hurricanes and floods and droughts and all this bad weather, like Al Gore said.
Yeah, because, see, sparing people from hurricanes, floods, and droughts would be a bad thing, right? I mean, how about we play that little clip for the folks down in Texas or the grieving families of the floods and explain to them, folks, just thought I'd let you know that Chuck Koch endorses a position theory that says that it's okay when your, 3-month-old baby gets washed away in a flood. Don't you love the Koch brothers, Texans? Well, thanks for that dose of reality, Gerald. Gerald noted, well, shit, Bob, you're just going to have to buckle down and live with the Mercedes and the Beechcraft. You're not in Chuck's hip pocket, okay? I know. I'm not even going to get one of those Cirrus airplanes with the great big parachute attached to it. Damn it!
Book of Revelations, one more time. Ban Ki-moon, science and religion are united on this issue. 2015. But it is a moral issue. The Pope, and we'll talk about that. The UN is talking. These are a global collection of articles. Chad, global warming, inspired ban on charcoal.
You know how we know that he's talking to an empty room? Because he's begun speed reading. He's worn out with it. He's tired of it. There's nobody watching. There's nobody paying attention. And, you know, he's going to have to go back and explain to Chuck Koch why there wasn't anybody in the room. Well, hell, son, it don't matter to me. Long as what matters, boy, is that we get the message out. I mean, granted, Kansas would go up like flash paper if somebody so much as lights a cigarette around here. But that ain't climate change, because it ain't good for business. Oh, go away, Mark Morano. No word on that yet, Devin. Devin asking, so is he a supporter of the missionary position statement? Yeah, I know. Yeah, lots of good, helpful suggestions coming in. Maybe you can hitch a ride. Bob, maybe you can hitch a ride with Creflo Dollar. Yeah, but see, he didn't get his new jet, and he says the other one's fit to fall out of the sky. I ain't getting on that bucket of bolts. Oh, hell no. We got... there's no let-up here. And by the way, this is especially in light of the recent settlement reached by Cleveland on the use of deadly force by their police forces, and the disproportionate, disparate degree to which deadly force was used against their community of color. An old photo made it into the news in the last day or so. It's a very old photo. It's a photo that was shot sometime between 1999 and 2003. Oh, wait a minute. Let me share another observation with you. With regard to Mark Morano, our buddy the Angry Indian says, this is fucking painful to listen to. This is precisely why stupidity should be painful. Perhaps if idiocy were physically uncomfortable, such nonsense would stop and the afflicted would seek professional help. One of those evolutionary curses, it doesn't hurt us to be stupid, at least not in the short run. And, of course, we have to remember that populations evolve, individuals don't. I got two individuals here who definitely didn't evolve. In fact, may have been a representation of devolution. Like I said, it's an old photograph. It comes out of Chicago. Taken somewhere, it's a Polaroid, because you didn't want to take this down to the cut-rate pharmacy to have it developed there. It's a Polaroid. Taken sometime between 1999 and 2003, it is thought. It's been hanging around in the police files in Chicago for a while, but eventually the federal prosecutors got hold of it from city officials in Chicago sometime after one of the two people in the photo, a dirty, filthy, rotten, revolting police officer named Jerome Finnegan, and another officer by the name of Timothy McDermott. Jerome Finnegan was sentenced to 12 years in prison because, as a member of the Chicago Police Department, he organized robberies and home invasions alongside other of Chicago's finest, right? Yeah. What is this photo, you ask? Well, four or five years before, we ever started stacking up people and putting leashes on them while they were naked and pointing vicious dogs at them at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq. Well, I remember when that story broke, and I said, listen, and this was at the same time that Flush Flimball, the oxymoron, was saying, my friends, these are nothing more than fraternity pranks, right, of Abu Ghraib. I was noting at the time that it was no surprise, nothing in the Abu Ghraib story surprised me, because this is the kind of stuff that the prison industrial complex submits American citizens to every day, all across this greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. And that was the first thing I thought of when I saw this photograph. What is this photograph? It's a photograph of Officer Timothy McDermott and Officer Jerome Finnegan who are kneeling, holding a rifle and a shotgun. They're in plain clothes. They're grinning like foxes eating shit out of a wire brush, while Timothy McDermott holds his hand under the chin of a black man whose tongue is hanging out and his eyes are rolled back in his head, and it appears you can see some blood running down, dried blood running down his face, while Chicago police officer Jerome Finnegan holds onto a set of antlers that they have perched atop this unknown human being's head, this unknown human being, this unknown American citizen's head, as if he was a trophy captured in a hunt. Mm-hmm. By the way, Jerome Finnegan is due in 12 years in prison for having organized robberies and home invasions alongside other police officers. But Timothy McDermott managed to hang on to his position even with the city of Chicago knowing about this photograph. He managed to hang on to his position in the Chicago Police Department until just last year when they finally fired his dirty, corrupt ass. Here's something funny. Even with this photograph before them, the Chicago Police Board only fired him by a 5-4 vote. There were four members of the police board of the city of Chicago who said, "What the hell?" I mean, not that accent, but I don't do the Chicago accent very well. "Well, hell! I mean, he's just having a little fun." I mean, why don't we just suspend him for a little while? And by the way, Officer McDermott is appealing his firing. His lawyer and the lawyer for the Chicago Police Department went to the court, to the judge hearing the appeal, Judge Thomas Allen, and said, "Your Honor, would you please keep that photo from being released to the public? Because we want to protect Timothy McDermott's privacy." You know, kind of the way Josh Duggar needed his privacy protected. Only recently, some anywhere between 12 and 16 years after the taking of the photograph, did the Chicago Sun-Times finally get hold of the photograph. By way of explaining why you would beat the hell out of a human being to the point that his tongue's lolling out of his head and his eyes are rolled back and there's blood running down his face, and then put antlers on him and treat him like a hunting trophy, somewhere out on the, you know, out on the savannah. By way of explaining why they did it, Officer Finnegan said that he and his buddy McDermott arrested the man because he had 20 bags of weed. Hello, buried lead. Can we please decriminalize this shit before somebody else gets hurt? By the way, they didn't after they took this humiliating photo, they didn't arrest the guy, and they didn't file an arrest report because they said, well, he didn't have a criminal background. And it has still not been determined who took the photograph because, see, it takes several. It takes two or three for this kind of a dance. And somebody took the photo and never violated the blue code of Omerta. So the best that anybody knows, the photographer has neither been identified nor fired. But of course, whenever some sort of violence at treatment like this erupts, you can always blame the thugs. Funny, though, that definition of thug seems to be getting more and more, how shall we say, fluid. Yeah, don't get much more fluid a definition than this. Let's run over and talk to Ron for a minute. Hey, Ron.
Hi, Bob. How are you doing?
I'm okay, I think.
I missed the first hour and a half of the show. I understand I missed something spectacular. I'll catch up with it in the archives.
It was pretty novel in the history of Prayer Meeting Wednesday.
I had a little bit of advance warning that it was going to be an interesting evening. Unfortunately, coming from West Virginia, being, you know, that old Southern rule about being a man of your word.
Yes.
I'd told somebody I was going to be doing something tonight, so I went and did it. And I really would have much rather been listening to the show, but you know how it goes.
Life interferes sometimes.
It does. I have a question for you.
Yes.
How many seats are there in a clown car before it turns into a clown bus?
I think we're dealing with a clown frigate at this point.
Until
such time as John Ellis Bush enters the race formally, why? How is this national news? How is this something, you know, Rick Santorum, really, the frothy mixture guy, how is him entering the presidential race worthy of a breaking news alert from the New York Times?
How is it worth a breaking news alert and getting, I think, roughly 30 minutes on Fox Live? They covered it like it was, you know, the second coming. And I'm just looking down the road.
For Bro Fromix, is it the second or the third coming? Is this the second or third time that he's run? And did it involve some sort of invocation of his granddaddy, the immigrant coal miner?
This is the second coming, and yea, verily, the immigrant coal miner was brought back to life again.
And dutifully flogged, yes.
Yep. And his wife's lips disappeared when he was talking about his family. I particularly enjoy that part. I enjoy body language, and her lips just went from semi-full to a thin red slit in the space of about 30 seconds. It was interesting. There's a story there. I'm not sure what it is, but it's interesting. But
did she fold her lips in kind of like, I'm going to cry. Oh, it's so touching.
No. It was, if that cocksucker goes on much longer with that, I'm going to say something. It had that look about
Mrs. Santorum was having enough?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She didn't look all that happy to be there. Body language is an interesting science. You should, I'm sure you follow up on it, being a radio personality.
Well, you know, this is such a visual medium, Ron.
It is. I mean, the visual imagery I get during your shows is phenomenal, Bob.
Theater of the mind.
But my first actual involvement in a political campaign was in British Columbia, approximately 30 years ago. And I was a founding member of something called the Rhinoceros Party. You may never have heard of it, but
no.
Basically we were shit disturbers. And we put forth a candidate in two or three federal ridings in Vancouver. All it took at the time was $500. We raised that in one afternoon at the strip club amongst about 15 or 20 of us. Political movement got underway. I ended up being drafted to help create a party platform because we needed to have one. And my first contribution was to say that our platform would be made of wonderfully clear union harvested 2x4s and 2x6s. And then our next resolution was to change the speed of light so that traffic would move more swiftly.
Absolutely.
And then they moved me off of the policy platform, and I got to help a guy in a local riding there. And then comes Election Day, The first three polls that returned scared the bejesus out of our candidate. It was a poor schmeal just like the rest of us who found himself in the lead.
Oh, dear.
After three writings came in. And he turned to us and said the most incredible, and I'm sure
Jesus
a lot
Christ,
of other
what if we win?
Said, what the fuck have you guys done to me? Well, he went on to a resounding defeat, but it was a telling experience, and I keep thinking, well, Santorum's got 2, maybe 3% of the Republican vote. His Christian conservative base has disappeared. It's probably spread across 5 other candidates now. There's no way in God's green earth the Kochs are going to give him very much money. He looks like Mitt Romney in a bad suit and comes across in like Mitt Romney in support of pro-life and Christian values. How in the hell do all these guys think they've even got a friggin' chance? What are they trying to accomplish?
See, that's the, I mean, you really reached the nut of the question, Ron. And I think that a bunch of them just see it at, because it worked last time. A lot of them see it as an entree into either reality television or a talk radio gig, because apparently while there is almost no radio over-the-air terrestrial radio spectrum remaining in America for a progressive, liberal, whatever, there is apparently abundant, unlimited space for your Herb Caines. You know, Herb has his own show now. 999. You want a piece of pizza with that? Look at Mussolini, Godzilla from Wasilla, Caribou Barbie. She's for all intents and purposes a reality TV queen now.
She gives boob a whole new meaning
and an unpleasant one at that.
Yeah, and the other one's just as bad. But we digress.
So, you know, Rick Santorum is never going to be a senator from Pennsylvania again. He's never going to be so much as goddamn dog catcher. Okay? So he's got to find a hustle. And he's hoping that somewhere along the way, I mean, this is all, you know, Max, I'm ready for my close-up stuff. Because they're all auditioning. Ted Cruz will be a senator as long as he wants to be a senator in Texas because... Well, you know, forget it, Jake. It's Texas. Marco Rubio, probably the same in Florida, although he's young enough he thinks he really can sort of refine it to be president. Jeb Bush, yeah, he's just kind of bored, and that notorious Bush family internecine rivalry has finally kicked in really good, and he's tired of getting noogies from George for being president and him not.
Yeah, but there's no there. It's like Saskatchewan.
And I always thought that was, and I always thought that applied to Oakland, California. That's what Gertrude Stein said. There's no there.
No,
I mean, so everybody's working an angle. Everybody's working a hustle. Pastor Governor Mike Huckabee, by this time, 2 years from now, he'll be on TV saying, "Hi, remember me? I'm Pastor Governor Brother Mike Huckabee. Do you have diabetes? Yeah, you didn't take my cure the last time, but now I've run for president, and we're cutting the price. It's our presidential savings on my miracle diabetes cure. Call 140-RING-2 and ask for Mike."
I had thought he was going to go for the Ernest Angley slot.
Now, he can never do that because he's a Southern Baptist. And, they don't do the, straight-up faith-healing stuff. But then again, you know, it's possible that Pastor Brother Governor Mike Huckabee might insinuate himself into a cushy little grift over at the Southern Baptist Convention cult. I mean, there's potential for all of these freaks, Ron.
But okay, let me get back to the original issue I was trying to get at.
Okay, sorry.
You're a Republican.
No, I'm not. Oh, sorry.
Okay. Really stretch yourself here, Bob.
Well, hypothetically. Okay.
Hypothetically.
Okay, thank you.
You are
I thought you were cussing me.
Oh, no. If I'm cussing you, you'll know it. Senior Republican Party strategist. The ultimate objective has to be, after Congress, getting control of Congress, is getting control of the White House. Your other option, your plan B, is to have control of Congress to the point where you can frustrate the other bastards, black or white, who happen to end up, male or female, in the White House that are Democrats. If you look at that situation from a, 40,000 feet, you've got all these clowns parsing up the various constituency in bloodthirsty primaries, and the person that is furthest to the right, most conservative, most Christian, most outrageous, will end up winning in a bunch of states, and it's going to thoroughly screw up your odds of getting a candidate that has the slightest friggin' appeal to a middle-of-the-road, undecided voter who doesn't want to think an awful lot about issues, but just wants somebody that doesn't scare them to death.
Yeah.
So, what do you do? You got these clowns coming out of the woodwork, and all they're doing is muddying the water.
I may have a solution to this little Kobayashi Maru. There's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the evening, by the way.
Absolutely.
Thank you, bro. Yeah. I mentioned this the other night, that there may be a different theory at work here. That in point of fact, maybe this is actually deliberate strategy. They know that nobody, they see, remember, they see Hillary Clinton as some sort of Cthulhu-esque, dead but not dead sort of beast, right, that can't be taken down.
Do they really?
Yes. And so they know that one can't do it, no matter how mighty, no matter how powerful, can't do it. But maybe, and the analogy that I used the other night was, have you ever seen a bunch of little tiny piss ants take down a wasp?
Yep.
The wasp can't sting them all, and eventually the wasp just gets subsumed under a wave of piss ants, and the piss ants win. This may be that, and it also reminded me, how much of an acolyte are you, Ron, of the late great prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him? Well, he's one of our patron deities here. He certainly serves at the altar of the goddess of irony. I want to take you back now because I think the audio will reach you okay, and it certainly will reach the Horn Family Commune congregation. This goes back to 1992, before Bill Hicks went on to his long reward, having his third eye been having squeaky clean. Bill Clinton had been elected president, and the long nightmare of Ronald Reagan and George H.W. Pappy Bush were finally over. And there's just one little passage here that made me think about all of these Republicans in the clown scenic cruiser. And after, it's a very short clip, and after it's over, I'll tell you what it was. So stand by. Hang on. Oh, damn it.
Don't you love technology?
Yeah, we'll get this yet. There it is. Let's try this again. I think it may work this time.
I think I can.
I'm praying, okay?
What else happened, man? I'm over in fucking England, and Bush fucking loses. Must have been a secret. It must have been a Secret Service plot to keep me out of the country the night he lost. Protect Bush, his eardrums from shattering when I shrieked with fucking laughter. He's dead, it's dead, the Republican beast is fucking dead.
12 years of that rampaging Republican fucking elephant beast finally brought to its knees. Yes, you're dead, you fucker. You fuck, you're dead, dead, dead. We hate you. Now do you know it? Now do you feel it? Feel the fucking hate. Feel it. Call off your dogs. Call your little Vietnamese pot-bellied Rush Limbaugh back to your fold, you demon fuck. Bring Pat Buchanan back. Call him back. You're lost. Finally, that Republican beast elephant brought to its fucking knees. Because I feel like me and my friends and all the artists in the fucking country were like little pygmy tribes shooting darts at that elephant for 12 years. And finally, we do our little pygmy dance.
Okay, so you know what I was thinking now, Ron.
Yeah. They're taking
the little Bill Hicks theory of a whole lot of little pygmies can take down a great big elephant, and that's the way they see themselves relative to Hillary Clinton. So the more the merrier, the more right wing idiots screaming about Hillary Clinton there are, the greater the likelihood that they're going to wind up being on something besides Fox. Because, oh, sure as shooting, you know, you can count on CNBC to book them. You can count on CNN to book them. I mean, who wouldn't want to have a conversation with Ted Cruz on CBS this morning, Ron? I mean, who wouldn't want to have him, Marco Rubio on Good Morning America? So they'll just carpet bomb America with little wingnut assholes. Oh. All screaming, Hillary, 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 Agenda 21, Common Core.
Benghazi.
Jade Helm.
I got to tell you, I find it fascinating to watch, but I keep looking for a strategy. And I'm starting to think these people aren't all that goddamn smart.
I don't know. They've managed to set it up so that they can control the Congress into the third decade of the 21st century. How dumb are they, Ron?
Maybe I'm naive, but I like to, you know, the old axiom, even a blind squirrel finds an occasional acorn.
Yeah, but this ain't blind squirrels. I mean, the long con game that the right wing has played in terms of defeating people's ability to cast votes, the gerrymandering, the redistricting.
The gerrymandering is just ridiculous.
And it ain't going to let up. There's a lawsuit. I was reading over at Charlie Pierce's blog today. There's a lawsuit that will probably wind up in front of the Supreme Court by next year regarding districting. And the state of the laws that exists is that for population counting, you count everybody who lives in the district, okay?
Right.
Not just voters. You count children who aren't legally able to vote. You count everybody. Well, a couple of godless, motherless, soulless Republicans from Texas, of course, have filed a lawsuit saying, no, for districting purposes, we only count registered voters. And that has the potential to completely wreck everything.
It certainly does. Yeah.
Now you want to take odds on which way the rats are going to vote on that one, given what they did to the Voting Rights Act?
Nope. I'm starting to think we get the country we deserve. You know.
I'm not being cantankerous or disagreeing to be disagreeable. I don't know that.
Hey, Bob. It's more fun that way.
Well, okay. But the larger point is that we're certainly not getting the government we vote for, because there are routinely more votes for Democrats going into the Congress than there are for Republicans. But this is the important disjunction here, but the Republican Party recognizes better than anyone else who and what it is. It is a failing, diminishing, disappearing party of disaffected, cranky, bigoted, racist, old, white people.
Yeah.
Now, they also have a lot, they also have control of the vast majority of the money. So if you have the money and you have the power, even if you don't have the demographics, you can still maintain control. Jesus God, the first 260 years of the occupation and colonization of this continent show that. How many white people were there compared to how many black people there were in the South? A lot less white people, but still they maintain power through a ruthless program of brutality and economic oppression and physical oppression and law. And this is an extension of that, Ron. Okay? They don't have the numbers, but they have the ability to keep the numbers from ganging up on them.
But you have to think, if you go back to, I'm going to take you back, a blast from the past. Back in the 20s when they invented radio and it started becoming popular, there was a company in the Northeast who made a laxative. And, X-Lax. They had billboards all over New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Delaware, and they had a recognized brand slogan. And when radio came on, they were told they had to change their slogan. And they did. And it was one of the...
Right,
first
here.
Recognized acts of radio censorship, broadcast censorship. But their original slogan was, "This too shall pass." The Republicans are setting themselves up for an absolute, at some point, complete, abysmal, catastrophic, drop off the fucking map failure. They're going to disappear at some point. We've got nothing coming along.
But the joker in the deck, Ron, is where that point is, that some point you just referenced.
Yeah. 2020?
No. Because how the census is taken...
Every 10 years, yeah.
How the census is taken is largely within the purview of the executive branch. So if there is, you know, that'll be a presidential election year. If in 2016 we elect a Republican president...
Oh, another 10 years.
It's another 10 years.
Yeah.
That's why I have repeatedly said that the first realistic chance... And it's a realistic chance, not a realistic likelihood. The first realistic chance of getting the Congress back away from these thugs is the off-year elections, the midterms of November 2022, which means the first time we could possibly even remotely possibly have a chance at a Democratic majority in both houses of Congress is January of 2023. I cannot emphasize how badly I want to be wrong about that, Ron.
Mm.
But everything that I see, everything that I read, tells me that I am not.
Well, let me throw another wrinkle into the equation. Canada is widely perceived to be, and is for the most part, a liberal, compassionate country, parliamentary government, and...
The politest people on earth?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
The politest people on earth? Yeah, excuse me, pardon me?
Yeah. But we have had a conservative government and either minority leadership or in the last 3 or 4 years majority of the seats in Parliament, headed by a tight-assed guy by the name of Stephen Harper. Western conservative,
I wouldn't have called him a teabagger, but he was definitely to the right of center, even for the Conservative Party in Canada 15 years ago, and worked his way up through the system, became prime minister. Well, a few years ago, shortly after they have a majority, they abolished the long-form census return for Statistics Canada, which was the basis for many economic and political decisions. At that point, Canada was regarded as one of the best countries in the world in terms of statistics, knowing everything there was to know in broad terms about their population, whether it was economic, political, immigration backgrounds, you name it. Well, the Conservative government abolished the long-form mandatory, if you get one in the mail, you have to reply census. The head of the agency quit. His replacement has been fighting it ever since. We have a short form, which is voluntary census now, and most of the real data that was used to empirically define riding boundaries, views on important issues, economic status of people in the various provinces, that's all disappeared. We have something in Canada that's unique. The U.S. certainly doesn't have this, and it's called a transfer payment. The provinces that send more tax revenue to the government through the various channels that are taxed are called the haves. The provinces that don't, historically, it was like Manitoba, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia. Those provinces received positive transfer payments. They got more money back from the feds every year to make up the deficits in their healthcare budgets, education budgets, etc., so that everybody, every province in Canada had proportionally an equal amount of revenue to share based on population. That has been thrown right into the mix at the moment, and the provinces, some of the have-nots are arguing, particularly the ones that always vote liberal, are arguing they are really being screwed into the ground by the fact that, you know, the federal government says there's no real data to say that you need more money. There's no real data that says you have a disproportionate number of immigrants coming to your province, so we will support you. There's no real money that says, okay, you need more money for education to support English as a second language. No, we don't see that. And the whole business of census and statistics is critical. And up here, we're starting to screw around with it, and it's having a major impact. There are people that are saying 10 years from now, we will not be able to effectively identify how many members of parliament we need to have from a given province, what the economic status is of people within a given province, educational levels, immigration statistics. Everything will become foggy. And once everything becomes foggy, then you can pump out any kind of goddamn message you want in terms of political ads and branding, and nobody will be able to contradict you.
Right, because at that point, then, well, it's all just theory anyway.
Right.
Teach the controversy.
I'd like to meet the Chinese guy that gave us this friggin' curse that we should live in interesting times.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'd like to catch him right between my headlights and my hood ornament. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no kidding. I used to drive a Dodge pickup truck that had a big old heavy ram's head hood ornament. And plant those horns, just boonk. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I said to you in another comment once that I'd rather have a thump-thump than a screech.
Yes.
I'm going to run over the little critters.
Well, that's like the old gag about what's the difference between a dead skunk in the middle of the road and a dead teabagger.
Skid marks?
Skid marks in front of the skunk.
Yep. Yeah. Or two sets of skid marks.
Yeah.
In any event, I'm going to leave you here and go back to my regular programming, which is to finish a report because I plan on leaving town shortly. And I would like to encourage everybody who's still listening at this point, who hasn't either become bored or nauseated, please contribute. Give some money, folks. $5. It all helps.
Every bit of it helps. And in point of fact, where we stand now, Ron, is at $300. If I turned the lights off right now, we'd be at $500 by this time tomorrow evening. So I don't mean we've got it. I mean we need it.
Yeah.
So, what you said cannot be adequately writ larger.
I wouldn't want to call it a tithe.
No, nor would I, because I don't want all the moral, I don't want all the
ethical.
Ecclesiastical.
Oh, okay.
Stuff that goes with that.
I knew it was one of those E words. In any event, I haven't called in for a little while. I had nothing particular to say tonight. But
and yet somehow you managed to say it.
Yeah, my sister would say that that's never been one of my failings. But
well, I am still, and I don't mind telling the world, I am still looking forward to our meeting of the minds tête-à-tête that is still tentatively set for Saturday.
Yea, verily, sir. You got a time?
Depends on what the road does to you on the way. We'll be at your convenience, but, one-ish.
I'm looking forward to a sandwich and a beer.
Oh, I tell you what, they keep really good beers on tap at Secret Sandwich, and the sandwiches is all special good.
Have you ever had the Renegade Burger?
Which one is that? I've had a couple of their burgers.
Looked like it had every damn thing on it that I liked. It had bacon, it had cheese, cholesterol warnings, red onions, jalapeno peppers. And I'm looking at it, and I kept coming back to it when I checked the menu online, and I kept going, if I was all by myself, which one would I order? And I kept coming back to that one.
Well, their burgers are exquisite. Let's see. Let me find okay. Now, the one I never get is the rawhide. Ferg has gotten that one because he loves a fried egg. That's jalapeno peppers over easy egg, roasted garlic mayo,
right,
and pepper
okay.
jack. The Renegade is the seared mortadella, red onions, cherry peppers, roasted garlic mayo, and provolone. Yeah.
There's the one. Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, now, there's a combo for the, you might want to think about the Eagle. Run. This is the food porn portion of the program brought to you by Secret Sandwich Society. Seared mortadella, over easy egg, roasted garlic mayo, pickles, and crispy onions.
Huh.
Yeah, I know. And they do such an awesome job. Their French fries are not to be, just not to be compared. Their homemade pimento cheese that they put on the fries, holy God. And yeah, cholesterol warnings and everything else. But I usually work the sandwich side of the street and not the burger side. Because
that's the road less traveled.
Not for me. I think I've had everything on there, but they do their own meatloaf. So the McKinley with the spiced homemade meatloaf, chipotle bacon jam. I usually get the pimento cheese instead of the Thousand Island and balsamic onions instead of the crispy onions. Whoa.
Pimento cheese. Mm-hmm. I haven't had pimento cheese since I was a kid.
This is not your fourth grade pimento cheese spread.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, a note coming in from Brother Deacon Asa over in Vancouver. He says, Ron articulates the situation up here very well. Bravo. And I bet you Jackie and Lynn are saying the same thing.
Well, thank you, folks. I'm here occasionally. Don't miss much. But anyway, back to the Secret Sandwich Society.
Yes.
Looking through the menu, there were two things missing. If you're gonna be the epitome of sandwich places, you've got to have a grilled cheese of some kind.
Oh, and they got one. It's there.
Really?
Yeah, it's called the Churchill. It's got three different kinds of cheeses on it and baby spinach and I think onions.
Ooh.
Oh, and they do a really good job with their tap list these days. You can go and find out. Agnes has never been a big one for beer drinking, but they've lately been getting one in there called Leviathan, and it's an IPA. And how was I to know that my beloved redheaded Hellcat would turn out to be a hophead? But she is. She loves her.
I love IPAs.
She loves an IPA, and this stuff was coming off at like 10% alcohol. And, you know, just a couple of those, and she was wandering around behind the little animals. It's not on the menu right now, but holy God, listen to a few of these. They've got Anchor Steam. Okay, we've all had Anchor Steam.
Yeah.
There's a local brewery around here called Bridge Brew that does wonderful beer. The best thing they do is called Crux. It's the best impression, the best interpretation by an American brewery I've ever had of classic German Kölsch. But wow, Flying Dog Horn Dog Barley Wine.
Do they have the Kölsch glasses?
No, sadly, I have my own back here.
Yeah, I can tell them where to get them. There's one place in North America that sells them.
Wow.
And I used to work for that company, which is how I know this.
Really? Wow. No, I love the Kölsch glasses because they are so austerely elegant.
Yep.
What's the German word for
it? Boy, are we into arcane information now?
Yes, we are, and it's what makes us so special. The German word, Streng, S-T-R-E-N-G, that's the Kölsch glass.
Yep.
String means rod, I think.
Yeah.
Let's see, Fox Barrel Pear Cider.
Yeah, that one looked interesting. I thought I might. Depends on how long the afternoon goes and whether Kelly wants to drive home.
Terrapin Hopsecutioner IPA.
I'm a big fan of IPAs. I like them.
Well, this apparently has six different varieties of hops in it. And they say, and I know the, and I never knew before recently, and once he told me, I never knew, okay, so the resident wine snob in a restaurant is, of course, a sommelier. I did not know there was a word for the resident beer guy, but there is.
What is it?
He is the Cicero.
Whoa.
And the Cicero over there I've become pretty good friends with, and he will, every time they change taps and I walk in, he goes, you want the tasting, right? Absolutely, he said. And we'll sit there and lay out everything that they got. And, by the way, the Flying Dog Horn Dog Barley Wine comes off at 10.2%. The Great Lakes Chill Wave is at 9.4. So there's something there for Agnes. Who knows?
One thing I've noticed after many, many, many years and lots of practice in drinking Canadian beer, which ain't all bad.
Which a lot is good.
Yeah. I can come down to beautiful, almost level West Virginia and go out and drinking with my buddies from high school or wherever, and it's like drinking water for the most part. And, you know, they'll be halfway under the table, and I'm still sitting there looking around going, so, do we have any real beer?
No, I'm a serious built beer snob. Now, they got something here that I find interesting. It's in a bottle, but Blue Mountain Barrel House Uber Pils. If they're really getting close to a classic German Pils, I'll be all over that like a duck.
A good Pilsner is on a hot day outside on the patio.
Well, see, that's where I get worked up about Kölsch. I've determined that Kölsch is the ultimate lawnmower beer. It just is.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not. See, I'm not a hophead.
Okay. But
I like to taste the malt. I like to taste. I don't just want my mouth turned inside out. And there's just enough hops in the Kolsch to let you know it's there, but it's this golden, and there's a fruity grassiness to Kolsch. Oh, my God.
Well, I'm going to send you a link to Kolsch glasses that you can get in North America, and occasionally the company doing it does free shipping, so you can use the link judiciously.
Oh.
And send it to people you like.
Is it, do they have both the 200 milliliter and the 400 milliliter variety?
These are work out to about 6 ounces. So they're about 6 inches tall, about an inch and a half and inch and three quarters in diameter.
Yeah, that sounds like the 200 heavy. Milliliter jobs.
Yeah, and heavy.
Oh, heavy?
Yeah.
Wow. I wonder if we're talking about the same animal now.
Tall, thin glass, about 6 inches
like
high.
Yeah, it's like a big test tube, only not rounded on those. Just, you know,
yeah.
Great. Yeah. I'll be dipped. Yeah. Okay.
Now, I haven't looked at the specs for a couple of years, but...
Well, we just got a note from Gerald noting, he said, I'm enjoying a Sam Adams Boston Lager right now. I'm right behind you, Gerald.
By the way, there's another beer that I discovered a few years ago. When we were driving up the East Coast, I drove down to Jacksonville, picked up my wife, lovely and talented wife, who'd been singing in an international choral competition down there, picked her up, and we spent a week driving back up the East Coast as close as we could get to the water. As soon as I got into Georgia from Florida, I headed for the two-lane highway by the water and came all the way up, staying in bed and breakfast or... just going, oh, that place doesn't look like it has too many prostitutes, and we'd stay there for the night. And come up through Cape Hatteras one day ahead of a hurricane. Got into Delaware in a place called Rehoboth Beach.
Oh, yes.
And there's a place there, restaurant along the waterfront, that says, I think it's called Dogfish Head Beer.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Oh. They had about 15 varieties available.
Yeah, Dogfish Head is a big deal.
It is. It's damn good beer.
Well, I gotta ask you, because I'm not that familiar with your geography. How far are you from the Wisconsin state line?
Wisconsin?
Yeah.
10 hours.
Oh, shit. Okay. Never mind. because had you been closer, I was going to recommend a salutary trip to the inside the borders of Wisconsin, where you could just drive yourself into flights of delight, just drinking all of the the one I'm most familiar with that they make is Spotted Cow, New Glarus Brewing.
Hmm.
And you can only get New Glarus beers inside Wisconsin. A bar in Minnesota got felony popped for selling it outside of Wisconsin.
Whoa!
Yeah, it is special.
They have one beer on the menu at the Sandwich Society that is my standard golf course beer if I can get it, which is Yuengling.
Hey, I went through my Yuengling phase. I'm over it.
Hey, when it's hot and you're pissed off, Yuengling works.
Well, that sounds like the end of a golf afternoon for me.
Yeah.
Hot and pissed off. God damn four putting son of a. Yeah, that's. Exactly.
Yeah, and that's a four putt after you hit it from the fairway for 200 yards and you're sitting there looking at an eagle putt.
Yeah, you got eagle in your four putt, right.
Yeah.
Now, usually if I've got eagle, I'll six putt.
Okay.
Ron, have a wonderful evening. It's been a delightful conversation.
Yep, go raise some money and say goodbye to folks, and I'll talk to you soon, I hope.
All right. Take care, Ron. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Up in Canada, our buddy Ron. And, yeah, we closed the program. The hole's $300 deep now. Thank you very much to our kind contributors this evening. Thank you very much indeed to our anonymous contributor. Thank you kindly to... thank you to Brother Deacon Asa. Thank you to Danny in Louisiana, Stan. Thank you, one and all. And thank you last night to Jeremy in Vermont. All right, out of here. in a hurry. Good night, y'all.